Good to see you again tonight, HHG. This is Cyanon. Look, I know we have a ton of fun around here, but it's time for a little change of pace. Shinji Pilled Wojak wants to send you tonight on a path of revenge. A story of loss, betrayal, vengeance, and deciding what it means to truly live for something. It's going to be a dark day in hell tonight, Anons, as we begin the heartbreaking story of the Crimson Deer and the Pale Queen. Prologue, Part 1, Charlie Morningstar. The bright, early morning of the Hellborn sun burned hot, ethereal through Charlie's bedroom window, and falling over her, it was only a few minutes until she blinked awake, with Vaggy in her arms. The regretful realization of the moment she found herself in settled on her, like a heavy cloak of dread. The day had finally come. Extermination Day. The exterminations always began every year at high noon. With it just starting to lighten outside, Charlie knew she had best get ready for the storm that was rearing over the horizon, ready to swallow them in an avalanche of hard angelic steel and pure, seething hate.
Vaggy, wake up. Today's the big day.
Her true love yawned sleepily. Her wings, which had been folded around Charlie in the night, stretched outward as she sat up to face the day. The pinions shone brightly in the reddish glow of early morning, casting an otherworldly beauty across the countenance of her beloved sleepy features. Yet still, that one eye which remained to her held nothing but love and care for her in it. It was the rock under which she sheltered in the worst moments of her life.
Are you ready, babe? He's coming for us. For all of us. If we don't win today, I don't need to tell you what happens. I know that, Vaggy,
Charlie said, looking at their closet. They were both naked, having spent the night making love, holding each other in their arms and bringing each other pleasure with a passion born of fear that they would never know the other's touch again. It had been beautiful and intense, and when they finally fell into sleep, Charlie drifted off with tears on her cheeks. She had not wanted the night to end and dawn on the day that could be the very last one she would know the touch of this girl whom she loved so deeply. For the battle, Charlie chose something light and easy to maneuver in. She was no warrior, having never wanted to raise a hand in violence against another unless it was to defend the people she loved. Her garments were a bright red dress trimmed in black lace, her heir's crown, a shining obsidian and ruby circlet that rested in her golden hair with an easy grace, and maroon undergarments. Vaggy raised an eyebrow as Charlie began to pull everything on, clearly in a rush.
Charlie, I don't think that's a good idea to wear to war,
she said gently, yet firmly to her girlfriend.
Well, I don't have anything else to wear. I can't wear my normal suit, it's too restrictive, and I don't exactly have armor. I think my dad made some for me a long time ago, but I just never wanted it. It seems to send the wrong idea, you know? I think violence and force should always be a last resort. I mean, I really don't want to hurt anyone. I don't have to.
The fallen angel sighed, but gave a short nod.
If you don't want to wear any armor, I guess I'll have to protect you myself.
Charlie blushed. She was so lucky to have Vaggy by her side. Someone who genuinely trusted and loved her, who kept her safe. She didn't know what would happen if she lost Vaggy, but even thinking about it made her feel sick. It could happen today. She could die. There would be a lot of fighting and danger, and though she had trained with Carmilla, how much could one session really do? What if she slipped up? What if Charlie had to face the world without her? Even the thought made her feel ill. She loved Vaggy so much, even more than it seemed her parents had loved each other. Her worry must have shown through, because Vaggy rubbed her shoulders and startled her out of the panicked worries that raced through her head. Her touch made everything feel a little less scary, and she found herself leaning into it. She was worried for the others, too. Alistair, Angel Dust, Husk, Nifty, Serpentius, Cherry Bomb, even the cannibals. They'd all come here to fight for her, to put their lives on the line for her vision and her ideas.
What are you worried about?
You. And not just you, but everyone. Vaggie, they need me to protect them. They're my family. They came to me for aid. They trusted me to keep them safe and help them be better people. If they die out there defending my dream, it would destroy me if... Oh, fuck, Vaggie, if you...
And her lips started to quiver as if she would break into tears at any moment. But then Vaggie was holding her, and it was okay again.
I won't let anything happen, Charlie. I won't leave you alone.
She cried into the once exorcist's shoulder for a long time, before finally looking up at her, eyes still brimming with tears.
Do you promise?
Vaggie nodded and held her close.
I promise.
She knew she couldn't keep that promise. Not for sure. Something could happen to her. She could die. It was entirely possible she would die, but Charlie needed to hear the opposite. She needed to be strong. So Vaggie told her what she needed to hear. Sometimes that's what you did for the people you love. Charlie was her lover. Her rock, her best friend. She would do anything for her. If she had to kill the entire Exorcist army on her own, she would do it. Or die trying. For Charlie. They did their morning routine together, talking all the while, both to be pleasant and to keep the impending conflict from their minds. Best not to think about it at all. Act like nothing bad was going to happen today. Then it would be almost like another normal day. Until noon, that is. Charlie's head was throbbing. Black aided the edges of her vision as Adam gripped her throat in hand and lifted her like a rag doll.
This little fight was cute and all, but it's time to die with the rest of them.
Suddenly the pressure was gone, and she was dropped into strong arms. Strong, gentle arms that held her like she was a treasure. She knew those hands.
Dad!
Her father's face was set in a hard expression of determination. He had struck Adam with titanic force, sending him careening through the air and into the hotel sign before crashing through a skylight. He looked down on her, and instantly, all her worries melted away, and she felt the relief so strongly in her heart that it almost made her dizzy. She was saved. Her father was here, and he would never let anything happen to her.
"Sorry I didn't come sooner, sweetie," he said,
and she stared at him, eyes wide with adoration. It didn't matter that he hadn't come sooner. He was here now. She would survive. She just knew it.
Okay, how many of you freaks do I have to fight?
Charlie turned to see him climbing out from the skylight.
Oh, I'm the only one who matters,
her father replied, but his voice suddenly seemed far away as Charlie looked up to see Vaggie and Loot clashing in the skies. Now both capable of flying, they were like dueling birds of prey, crashing into each other. In the red of the sky, with the clatter of battle all around, everything seemed secondary to the fight that could claim the life of the woman she cherished most in this world.
Come on, Vaggie. Come on.
She wanted to ask her father to help, but she knew he had his own battle to win. She saw the very moment it happened. Vaggie dipped under a swing aimed at her head, swirled in midair, and flew upward with a mighty beat of her restored wings, the gust throwing Loot off balance as her love came flying down at Adam's paramour, a spear raised with killing intent. Loot recovered at the last instant, and Charlie thought it was too late. But even after her training, and even as driven to fight for the love of her life as Vaggie was, Loot was the better fighter. This time, skill told over fervor. She adjusted her wings, and the spear point barely missed her, cutting a superficial scratch across one of the angelic slaughterer's shoulders. But now, Vaggie's killing point was past her target, and Loot was within her guard. The Crusader's sword slammed through Vaggie's chest, and the scream of fatal agony it tore from the fallen angel's throat made Charlie's heart lurch in dread. The whole exchange had ended in less than 5 seconds. It was so fast. How could it have been over so fast? Vaggie's spear slipped from her fingers and fell out of view as Loot threw her down, broken and trailing shining golden vitae, to crash bonelessly before Charlie's feet. The heir to hell didn't realize she had gotten on her knees and pulled Vaggie's head into her lap. She didn't remember doing that, but here they were together. Her words were a messy jumble of desperate denials and hollow, limp promises.
Vaggie, stay with me. It's gonna be okay. I promise. It'll be okay. Please, please don't leave me here. Look at me. Look into my eyes. Sweetheart, please don't do this to me. I love you, Vaggie. Please don't die on me. Don't.
Tears ran freely down her cheeks, and Vaggie was looking up at her, smiling sadly.
Hey, sweetie. Sorry, I guess I wasn't strong enough to keep my promise.
She reached up from holding the sucking wound in her chest to touch Charlie's face, her hand moist with the hot, shining lifeblood that was spilling from her. Charlie felt with numb fingers at her lover's wound, pressing down onto it, trying to keep the pressure on, trying to keep her from bleeding out. But she knew it was hopeless. That sword had thrust true, straight into her heart. There was nothing that could be done, and she knew that. But to accept it, that was too much for her to bear.
I love you, Charlie,
she heard Vaggie say.
I love you too, Vaggie, but focus on staying awake. Don't die on me, okay? Vaggie?
But the sound of battle still raged. The cacophony of carnage was still there. But the lack of response from Vaggie was all she really heard. Its lack deafened all else.
Vaggie? No, please, Vaggie! Vaggie! Wake up!
But she didn't. Her eyes were closed, the ghost of a smile on her blood-stained lips. Her chest did not rise with another breath. Her pulse did not continue. The blood flowing from the wound began to taper off. She was gone. Charlie had loved her and cherished her. They had spent night after night in each other's arms. She'd opened herself to this girl more than to anyone else she'd ever known. And now she was gone. She would never hear her laugh again, never feel her sweet touch, never know her loving embrace and her gentle reassurance. There was a warm, hell-born breeze on her skin. She was covered in hot, fresh blood, but all she felt was cold. But Dad was here. He would make them pay. She looked up, and he was hardly fighting with Adam, but just toying with him, outmaneuvering, dodging attacks, changing forms. Yes, he was going to win. He would kill that worthless, evil scumbag and his psychopathic little girlfriend, too. They'd both die, and at least Vaggie could rest in peace. But then she saw Loot. The exorcist flew hard at the King of Hell, throwing herself into the fight alongside Adam. Gone was the toying. Now Lucifer was hard-pressed. Dimly, Charlie remembered how Vaggie had said that Carmilla Carmine told her to fight for love. Apparently, it went both ways. The exorcist was throwing herself at Charlie's father with reckless abandon as he ducked and dodged out of each killing blow until, finally, he dodged and countered, slamming Loot into the plasma sign and sending sparks flying as he flew down to finish her. She rolled out of the way as Lucifer's fist crashed down under the roof and sent up slabs of pavement where her head had been a second earlier. Then, a blast of holy light nearly took him full in the face, and he had to veer sideways to avoid it. But when his attention was away, Loot was on her feet and swinging. He reacted to this as well, but they had him on the back foot, and her sword scored a superficial cut across his hip. No. Adam's axe guitar was in his hands again, and the blade came slamming down towards her father. The Prince of Lies pivoted and twisted his form into a bird to put some distance between him and Adam, but Loot had circled behind, and he was cut off. His form shifted back as she cut him again, this time much worse across the abdomen. Lucifer's eyes widened as he pressed a hand to the laceration and saw his own blood spilled.
No!
That moment of hesitation was the last, and one of the worst mistakes that her father ever made. Adam threw everything he had into one devastating holy blast, and it put a hole through her father's chest the size of a dinner plate. Lucifer was strong, and it told even now. As he was struck such a surely mortal blow, he drove onwards, swinging drunkenly, but Adam sidestepped.
This is for Eden, she heard Adam hiss. All the playfulness was gone from his voice, all the cocksure attitude gone, and with a roar of divine hatred, Adam kicked Lucifer in the gut, doubling him over and causing him to puke up blood, before giving him an uppercut of such savage ferocity that it sent the Prince of Lies sprawling to fall on the ground next to his weeping daughter. He looked up at her, eyes wide with shock, as his life ended. The last thing he did was to gaze up into Charlie's eyes, as she looked on him with abject, miserable horror.
No!
Charlie, he managed before the light left his eyes. They were still open, but no life yet endured there. It was over. Lucifer was dead. She felt the tears redouble as she reached over and touched his blood-stained, bruised face.
Dad, no!
A shadow fell over her, and she heard Adam's voice, cold and indulgent, enjoying the pain she was in.
Two dead traitors, and now the sinners are all that's left.
She didn't say anything. She couldn't say anything. She barely understood the words they said. Her true love and her beloved father, who had protected and nurtured her all her life, were gone. Nothing she could do would bring them back. And she would surely die now, too.
Don't worry, though, sweet cheeks. I'm not gonna kill ya,
Adam said, seeming to read her mind.
I'm in such a good mood right now, I'm thinking we'll let you live.
Sir, Luke mumbled to him, we should finish her now, while she's vulnerable.
He held up a hand.
Luke, no, trust me. After what we're gonna do tonight, she's gonna need to be alive. Someone's gotta pick up after us, and it sure as shit won't be me.
Charlie found a few words in a quivering voice, equal parts rage and fear.
What are you going to do?
Adam didn't answer her. He focused his eyes on his lieutenant.
You hold her here.
Luke grabbed Charlie, and she grunted and cried out as the woman gripped her hair and forced her away from her loved one's bodies and towards the edge of the roof, snapping golden fetters around her wrists, chaining them at her back. She could feel the angelic, blessed steel sap her strength. She was truly helpless now. Her friends, every last one of them, Angel, Husk, Nifty, Cherry, they were all surrounded in the center of the hotel's courtyard. The exorcists were holding, simply staring down the demons, who stared right back. Charlie didn't like the implications already, but then Adam spoke.
All right, ladies, Lucifer is dead.
The multitude of exorcists cheered, and her friends and allies looked scared and shocked. The cannibals began to waver. She saw a few towards the back start to run away. No, if they ran, it would just be her friends there and...
Your army is running away,
Lute said in her ear, relishing every word.
Shut up, you murderous bitch!
Charlie squirmed and tried to get free, but it was no use. The bindings held strong. The cruel, unyielding hands of the exorcist woman held her down and made her watch. She saw her friends looking around, trying to find a way out of the situation they were in. All were wounded, some worse than others. Angel Dust had lost one of his forearms. One of Husk's ears was cut in half. Cherry Bomb had a nasty gash across her face. But they were still standing, still ready to fight for her till the bitter end.
Now,
Adam said, pausing for dramatic effect before finally speaking,
I have one last command for you lovely ladies. Are you ready?
Yes, Adam,
came a chorus of female voices.
Kill every one of these worthless sinner fuckwits, then paint the town red!
He cackled and played a solo on his axe guitar as the exorcists swooped in from all directions upon the last people Charlie loved in this world. The screams, oh dear hellfire, the screams of their anguish and fear would never leave Charlie. Many nights would come and pass that she would sit upright from sleep, tears fresh and unbidden on her cheeks, with those screams echoing in the back of her skull. It was all too much. She saw, she heard, but she didn't feel. The grief compounded and squared in on itself like a blazing star compressing into a black hole. Somewhere deep in the cosmos, the fire of her pain seemed to swallow itself into nothing and took her consciousness with it. She slumped forward, and Lute's inquiries as to her state of being and if she was listening or not fell on empty ears. Because Charlie wasn't there right now. Charlie was hiding inside of her own head and trying her best to wish away reality until blackness took even that from her. When Charlie woke up, she was tied, knees in the dirt, in front of her hotel. Her vision swam, and she could feel tears still on her cheeks, a throbbing in her head, the kind you only get after crying your soul out. Had it just been a dream? No, it wasn't. What she saw on the ground around her confirmed that. Every one of her friends, Vaggie, and her father were laying dead around her. There was a trail of dead cannibals leading back towards the city, and the only person she saw was Adam. He walked around from behind her and grinned. Charlie Morningstar had never wanted to commit a murder more than in that moment, but the rage simmered into a crushing, black-hearted depression that sunk deep into her bones. Everyone she loved was dead. And it was because she wouldn't give up her silly little dream to rehabilitate sinners. She had gambled her dreams on the idea that, what, the power of teamwork would win the day? That somehow a ragtag band of scared sinners and crazed cannibals could defeat heaven? How would it come to this?
Aw, don't look too sad, Charlie,
Adam said, cupping her face in his hands, but she wrenched away, furious.
Don't touch me,
she snapped.
Look, on the bright side, princess, your friends and family won't die alone.
Then she heard it. Pentagram City was burning, and the screams of terror and agony that rolled on the afternoon breeze told her that it was bleeding as well. Adam smiled down at her.
Before you feel too sad, just remember, bitch, your father deserved every bit of that. He deserved that, and worse, for what he did. Not just to me, but to every single person who ever has lived, is living, or will ever live. You'll probably do a better job anyhow.
What?
She didn't comprehend what he was saying. Do a better job at what? She didn't want to do anything at all. She just wanted to die.
You know, ruling hell. You'll do better than he ever did. Not that it's saying much.
Belatedly, she realized what his words meant. Her father was dead. Her mother was absent. Charlie was the only one left to rule hell. The responsibility fell on her to lead. She would almost have been excited if she wasn't so broken. She had so many ideas that seemed so stupid and pointless now. So many reforms that just didn't seem important anymore.
At least you can't do worse,
he mumbled, rambling now. Even through the fog of grief and rage and pain, Charlie resolved one all-important thought. If she would rule hell, she'd make Adam pay for this, even if it was the last thing she ever did. That hate and rage was a lifeline, an island she took refuge on in the raging sea of hopelessness that was consuming her. She clung to it, and though Adam was still talking about some arrogant bullshit or the other, she didn't hear him. She only heard the mantra in her head repeated over and over. Adam will pay, Adam will pay, Adam will pay. Adam will.